203 DJS on KMOX. Happy Friday. Friday the 13th. Sue, does that bother you at all?
Nope.
Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Reasonable, rational person.
Yep.
Someone in here is very bothered by it.
Andrew or Kevin?
Which do you think?
It's got to be Andrew.
I am just a little... I didn't realize I didn't turn the music off. I was like, hey, the music's still going. See, stuff like that. It's little stuff. The little stuff adds up, and then there's suddenly big snowballs of problems.
So you don't think it could be that you're just noticing it more?
Or no, manifesting it because you're thinking about it?
So a lot of it comes So my mother spent many years, she worked in the emergency room at the hospital. She was an x-ray tech. And that was her career for most of my life. Mm-hmm. When she was working, she was an x-ray tech in an emergency department. And so that led to her insisting that things like Friday the 13th.
Full moons.
That people acting a little stranger and a little crazier
Halloween.
On the full moon. She was never really so much on Halloween. Halloween, she wasn't super superstitious about, but she was very much about Friday the 13th and the full moons.
What's the origin behind it? Do you know?
You know what? What's funny? I actually, while putting together fast food news of all things, earlier today, I did stumble upon a discussion about it. And there is no, definitive, like, this is where Friday the 13th comes from.
Huh.
There's like a couple,
like an ancient war or something that happened.
It's kind of a pastiche of a few different, there's something like that,
pastiche.
And then there's something else.
Yeah.
And all those things have kind of just come together over time.
Mm-hmm.
And that eventually that formed, probably solidified by the movie more than anything.
Mm.
Yeah, so, I'm looking at some of these explanations, and one of them is that it started with the Norse mythology that Loki was the 13th god, and he was the god of chaos and death, so Loki made it this way.
I like that one.
Apparently the mass arrest of the Knights Templar on August 13th, 1307.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's the one you're thinking of. There's also another one another theory that, this was from Time Magazine, that there were 13 guests at the Last Supper, and that means 13 is unlucky.
That's a stretch.
Does it say anything?
They're all stretches. I mean,
it's more likely that Loki.
Does it say anything about the
you
time?
You don't know who Loki is?
No, who's Loki?
Well, you know who.
I'm annoyed.
You know who Thor is, right?
Yeah.
Loki's his little brother.
Oh, well, that's sweet.
He's one of the Norse gods.
He's a trickster.
Yeah.
Kevin, does that article mention the time that I was in high school and I was bowling with my friends on Friday the 13th and I dropped a ball in my foot and broke two of my toes?
Oh, you never did that on a day other than Friday the 13th?
How many times do you think I've done that?
I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, I don't mean that particular thing.
How many
thing.
Times do you think I've dropped a bowling ball on my foot?
Andrew, slow down. I don't mean that particular thing. I just mean bad things in general. They don't happen other days.
No, I have a pretty perfect
Why
life.
Not Tuesday the 21st?
I'm sure you guys have noticed I have a completely flawless and blessed life. Strange and negative things
this
never once happened to me.
This is just one of those perception things. Like, you know, crappy things happen to people all days of the month, every day of the week. But when it's the 13th, you're like, it's because of today.
Gives you an excuse not to do anything.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just going to stay home. Don't want anything to happen.
Do you ever have fun, Kevin?
I do.
Do you ever have fun?
Do you ever smile? Right now?
It's not. Yeah, I am actually having a great deal of fun right now. I just don't get why it would be fun to think that, oh my God, danger lurks on every corner because it's a 13th day of the month and it's Friday.
Now, I did say my wife's going to a dance class tonight, and I did tell
teaching
her.
Teaching or taking?
Taking. And she used to teach, but now she takes because she stopped teaching for a long time, so she wants to get back into the swing of things. And I
what
did,
kind of dance?
I don't actually know what kind of dance it is.
She's your wife, Andrew.
Hey, I also don't know where it is, but so it could be anything.
You guys are super close.
But I did ask her.
What if it's exotic dancing? Don't you need to know this, man?
I guess I should have asked. It didn't occur to me to ask. But I did ask her not to tonight.
Dance?
Yeah, I asked her. I was like, it's going to be stormy, maybe. Probably not, I guess.
Andrew.
It's going to be Friday the 13th. I was like, I think we should stick together on this.
You
should split up.
You just didn't want to be alone.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh, my God.
I didn't want to be alone. She left me alone, Sue, for like seven hours last weekend.
One evening.
Was so lonely.
Lonely?
Yes.
That was the problem?
Yes, that was the problem.
So she can't have a life dancing because you were lonely?
Well, you know, I mean...
Yes, the answer is yes.
You know, it's like...
Andrew.
you know, can't we do something together? Which I was invited to this.
Don't you, guys basically do things together like 99% of the time?
Yeah. Yes, that's why I have attachment issues probably, is because I'm never, ever alone. And then when I'm alone for 3 hours, I'm
so
like,
what? He's got separation anxiety.
What if it weren't your wife? What if your buddies came over? Mm-hmm. Then would you be fine without her?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Because then I wouldn't be lonely. Because I called my my brother last time, and he and I chatted for a while.
So it's not so much that you just want to spend Friday night with your wife.
You just want a person.
You need a warm body.
I mean, I she's my favorite of the warm bodies. She's the best of the warm body. I mean, she's the warm body that I love the most.
Well, that's a good way to put it.
That's sweet.
Yeah. I'm sure she would agree.
He's the warm body that I love the most.
That's what was in my vows. Yeah. That was in my vows.
Put that on the inside of a wedding ring.
Yeah, that's engraved in the band.
So if you called a buddy to come over, she could go dance.
Well, I mean, and she can go dance anyway. I did relent because she, it doesn't take much. I said, like, you know, it's Friday the 13th. I don't want bad things to happen. I just think that bad things happen today. And she goes, really? And I was like, okay, fine. Okay, fine.
Good for her.
I guess. She's not superstitious at all.
No. Do you avoid the cracks on the sidewalk, too?
Yep.
Do you really?
I do.
Wow. Do you get freaked out if you break a mirror?
Maybe. I've never done that.
Good.
That's
good
one of those things that doesn't have, like, kind of like dropping a bowling ball on my foot. Like, it's not that often a part of my life.
Great, Kevin. He's not going to break one.
And I'm too fat for the ladder thing, so I don't really worry too much about that.
Take a big ladder.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Take a real ladder.
There is at least some inherent danger in walking under a ladder.
Yeah.
Right? Because usually it means somebody's up there and they could fall or drop something. So, I mean, I get that one.
I tell you one that's black, right?
Yeah. I tell you, that one's never bothered me. I've never been a black cat guy.
Well, that one's good.
Because you live with a black cat.
Yeah. Right. And also, I think cats are just kind of adorable in general. So when I see a black cat, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to see a cat.
So you're a cafeteria superstitious person.
I guess you're gonna explain what rude you pick and thing choose that
means. No, it just means you pick and choose which ones are
like
real
being
or not.
A cafeteria Catholic,
right?
I've never heard that expression.
Yeah,
I guess
it just means
I am
you kind of
that.
Pick and choose
means
the
you,
certain
means
things.
You pick and choose what you believe and what you don't.
Right. Okay.
You're selective.
You don't have to buy the whole dinner. You're just buying one piece at a time.
Okay.
Little thing. Is that how you are with superstitions?
Sounds like a great deal.
Superstitions or
no? I really
knocking
don't.
On wood or throwing
no.
salt or anything like that.
Oh, I'm a salt thrower. I'm a salt thrower from way back. Yeah.
We've got the idea. Right. Thank you for playing. Yes, we.
No, I just have never bought any of that. Do you have any?
I'm drawn to it, having OCD.
I was going
to
say. Yeah, I can see.
But it's less about your rules and more about mine. Like, if I spin around three times to the left, damn it, I'm going to spin around three times to the right. Otherwise, there will be a nuclear war.
I get you. And yeah. I get it when a superstition is more about a routine.
Yeah,
for a performer, for whatever. Like, I understand that. Like, there's a mindset you want to get
into.
Or licking
the sugar bowl in front of your dad at dinner, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that totally. I was thinking that
sucking on a broomstick.
Yeah, those are the two I have.
Those
I
are winners.
Yeah, but those aren't
your
superstitions.
World War II hard hat dad that worked all day and he just wants his pork chop.
Yeah, those aren't superstitions. Those are compulsions.
But you've decided to ask for your pork chop in a puppet voice.
Oh God! What was that about the broomstick?
Sucking on it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry. That is unfortunate.
Tell me about it. It's terrible.
Did you ever get a splinter?
It's awful. One. Yeah, but not in my mouth.
You set him up. That's what happens.
That's what we're here for. Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, like,
tee it up and let him hit it.
Sir. You don't get rid of OCD, so I still have it. It just comes out in different ways. And
not trying
to make fun of it. I mean, I am trying to make fun of it because I had it horribly.
What's a way of dealing with it?
And then I remember when Nick was probably 5 or 6 and he started having facial grimaces. And I was like, I remember the room we were in the old house, and I talked to him about it, and I'd seen a therapist for it, and one thing the therapist liked to suggest is like a competing feeling in your body, because when you have OCD, it's the feeling in your body that if I don't grimace my face, or if I don't roll my eyes as hard as I can, I just can't go on with life.
Wow.
And by like squeezing your fingers or pinching your thigh or something, it allows it to sort of short circuit that. So I taught Nick that, and the second I could look away, I started doing it. started. I started grimacing my face. Just it's almost like being an alcoholic and you haven't drank for 20 years and someone drinks and you're like, oh, God, that looks good. Like, I just wanted to start doing it. And then Phoebe did, too. She didn't have it as bad as Nick, but she had it, too.
Well, it just shows you the mental nature of it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Not that it was something else, but.
Yep.
Wow.
Oh, it was bad. That's the summer that they took me to the doctor and he put me on like super Xanax. And it was the same summer that I broke my toe and my big toenail fell off and I had to wear the Jesus shoes that my mom found at a Centurion store. Oh, and they laced all the way up to my knees.
What?
Yeah. He's like, get him some sandals, and they laced all the way up. Like, I was the one that, like, hit Christ in the side with a spear, and I was walking around all summer wearing the apostle shoes, whacked out on Xanax, and I'm like 10.
Oh, that's awful.
Yep.
You have the, oh my gosh. Why did they have to go up to your knee?
Got me. Okay. I don't know. I was wanting some rocking sandals, but
they won't fall off?
Looking like Peter.
Well, it seems like the ankle could take care of that, right? Why do we have to go to the knee? Okay.
It's like I was going to work at Golgotha every day. This is like lacing them up. And,
oh, man.
Like, I was a really good little ball player, and I couldn't play. Like, I would show up, I'd be like, hello, guys. Oh, they'd just be like, hi, Dave.
Hi, Centurion Glover.
Yeah.
Wow.
What if your name was Davis? Davis Maximus. Maximus Davis.
Yeah, later on, one of my girlfriends worked for the doctor I went to, and I guess she wasn't supposed to do this, even though they were my records, but she looked up my records, and that was in it, and she was like, what was happening when you were 10? And I'm like, oh, nothing. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
But she's like, these are really strong medications you were on.
As a 10-year-old.
And you're like, thank you.
Because one of my bad OCDs was shaking my head.
Oh.
And so they took me to the doctor for that, and he said, why are you shaking your head? And I lied and said, just getting the hair out of my eyes. And he saw through it, and he gave me the medication.
Oh, is that kind of like quick little?
Yeah.
Okay,
like,
I got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I can start doing it right now.
No, don't.
Just like, just
put it out
just
of
there.
Your thought. Put it out of your thought. No.
Then there's that one thing I used to do. You don't want me doing that.
Oh, my gosh.
So. Whew. You know what I've been missing lately, which I could fix tomorrow? The newspaper.
Huh.
I used to love reading the newspaper.
How long ago?
20-plus yeah. years, probably,
all
like
right.
when I first started my career. I mean, I've always loved it, and then I used to use it for show prep before we had show prep, but I just loved the whole thing about it. Just sitting down and the coffee and the sports section
what.
And the worry-gurdy and all that stuff.
It's not worth it. My Charlie Brennan on Twitter recently posted like what he's paying for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.
I saw that.
Newspaper delivery, and it's like $260 a month. He is. I agree with that.
He
but
likes to stir crap up.
He very much does. But it was like $260 a month. I'm like, and he's like, it feels like this is a lot. And
I thought they'd be giving it away.
I was like, I would have too. But it's I don't think it's terribly cheap to even do like
it's
the online.
It's more than $1 a day.
Maybe that's because they print so few of them anymore that it costs more.
I mean, it
I
can't
don't
be
know.
$260. That would be like $10 a day.
We have to look that tweet up.
Yeah.
See, Brennan.
Always stirring things up.
No, he is.
That's what I said.
He's just throwing it out there.
$288 for 8 weeks.
8 weeks. All right. So 2 months.
So for, yeah.
Turns out
so
it was
for,
Andrew, not Charlie.
Yeah.
That just feels like a lot. Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's $40
think
a month.
About it, though. It's a whole pile of stories and information dropped off at your door.
Tyler, you ever read a newspaper? Yeah.
Huh.
I don't miss it. I don't miss I still don't either. I read them, but I read them digitally.
Because
I don't like all the ink on my fingers and stuff. I don't like that.
Oh, look at poor little baby.
Yeah. Plus, Silent
Reds. That felt really good.
Yeah.
I don't know why. He's going to beat me up tomorrow night.
Nah.
It feels good. Fighting outside of the funny bone.
No, I have so much experience with this.
Fight. It's Wheeler and Clover.
It feels good to be able to hit him on something, doesn't it? Because he puts up that stupid little wall of his, and
he
it's
can
impossible
take it.
To get through.
I've been hit so many times, you have no idea.
Mm.
I just wear it. It's all good.
You can go to break now.
Okay, I didn't know if you were going to do
Andrew,
it.
Andrew, oh no, it's the Friday the 13th.
Want to hear my best newspaper story? I'm sure a couple of you have heard it. I'm sure Tyler's not heard it, so it's worth the price of admission. When I was 31, I went through a terrible, terrible phase of looking. And I was much bigger than I am now, and I was dressing in a really fruity way. I don't know why. And I had a law office downtown with my name on the door in the chemical building, and it was morning, and I was going to get a newspaper out of the machine, and I was wearing khakis with big pleats, tennis shoes, a big sweater vest with a turtleneck, and I had just shaved my head. And so
you had a look.
Not attractive. And there were an elderly couple behind me, and I had a baggie full of quarters in my car. And so I thought, oh, I'll take these in to my office, and I'll just use these to buy my newspaper every day. So looking like I was standing there, and I was having a little trouble getting the quarters in the slot. And the elderly couple thought that I had some sort of special needs. Yeah. Grown man.
Lawyer.
And the saddest part was I was so taken aback, I didn't dissuade them. I didn't go like full Simple Jack, but I mean, I was like, I didn't say like, oh, Pshaw, my law firm is right down, maybe you've heard of me. I just like, they helped me get the paper and I walked off in shame.
Oh, Dave.
Yeah. Then that same week, Nick was a little baby and he was in a pumpkin seat. And I'm 31. I'm younger than Andrew. And I was in an elevator and an old guy, probably 75 years old, gets in with me and he looks at Nick and he goes, hey, out with Grandpa?
Oh.
That's uncalled for.
Dave.
Right? Oh, I whipped his ass.
That's uncalled for. Yeah.
Oh, that's so
horrible. You got to stand on business with that one. You can't let that one slide.
No, you can't not knock a guy
out. You pull
out
your driver's license like, I'm 31.
No, once again, I didn't say a word because I was humiliated because he thought I was a grandpa at 31.
You're better than me.
What would you have done?
Yeah, what
thrown
would you?
The insult back at him somehow. I don't know exactly what.
What could you say? Though,
yeah,
Kevin?
How do you get that shade gone?
I don't know. He looked older than me, so there's plenty of material.
But he was 75.
I know.
He's supposed to look older than you.
It would have been mean. Let's just put it that way.
I will have you know I am 31. Like, nah, nothing works.
Do you think it would have embarrassed him, though, if you said, oh, no,
not like
I'm actually 31.
Me.
Oh, it's horrible. Ugh.
Now I'm sad.
Me too.
Our conversation with Ricky Horton is brought to you by Goodwill. Give hope, give local, give Goodwill.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Time to talk to our pal, Ricky Horton. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. So I am dreading next Tuesday. You know why?
Uh-oh.
We have Ozzie Smith on, and he's in studio, and he still thinks that I'm his best friend. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Wow, you can't have two best friends, you
Tell
know.
Tell
I mean,
me about it.
Yeah, I get
I
it.
That's my problem.
I'm feeling, yeah, well, hey, we'll keep that a secret between you and I. Go ahead and tell him that, and I can live with it. I'm
See,
okay.
This is why he's the best.
Yeah.
He's the absolute best.
Only for a day, though. Don't tell me I got to do it for more than that.
Okay, fair enough. That's fair enough. Hey, you had a couple days off there. Did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah, days off are always fun and, you know, kind of recharge. And, of course, you know, we're in the final stretch here, and I think we're going to find out, by the way, during this final stretch, you can find out a lot about players and kind of people when, you know, you're kind of just finishing out a season. And, of course, you still got to play. You still try to win. You're six games out in the wild card. You know, crazier things have happened. Not many. But the point is you just kind of find out, you know, who the winners are, I think. And I think Cardinals are going to be checking that out over the next 2.5 weeks.
We had a discussion in the first hour about the Cardinals, and I said to Wheels that we seem to have an embarrassment of riches at a certain level of guys, you know, like the Jaycees and the Gormans and people like that. And Wheels, I think you called them like B-plus players, that we do have a lot of those players.
Well, I think I think that's true. I think the idea is you want them to be, what we always say is they need to be finished as big league players. And, you know, we get a lot of guys that are right up to that line and you're thinking, oh boy, and then you just kind of want them to go that next step. And it doesn't mean that they won't. And I think they're going to be guys that are going to get that opportunity going forward to kind of finish off their development. But everybody understands now in baseball, development doesn't stop in the minor leagues. It used to. Used to get ready for the big leagues, then you'd play. But now the development continues, and there's a few guys that you're still kind of in that wait-and-see mode on.
Yeah, it's an interesting time, Rick, because obviously players are reaching the big leagues younger. I mean, that's just they're fast-tracking players. Because they have the physical abilities, the training starts so much earlier, you're not learning how to throw hard. You're not learning how to hit the ball 108 miles an hour. You're doing those things in high school and college. And by the time you're getting to the pros, you have the physical. But there's more than the physical that goes into it. So, you know, the old standard would be what? Like, you want to get 1,000 at-bats before you get to the big leagues. And now a lot of times it's half that or less.
Yeah, I can throw one more thing into this development idea. It's something I got from Mike Schilt when he was managing with the Cardinals. And he said that it's a common understanding among development people that you actually have to have minor league players unlearn some things that they learned in those youth areas and in all the things that they do to kind of, you know, showcase their power and their strength and all that. And you have to kind of teach them that that's not exactly what's going to translate into Double A, Triple A, and then the big league. So, and it's not like it's a macro change, but it is a change. And you've got guys that are wondering, well, boy, this worked when I was 13. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, we can all say that, can't we?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Different when we were 13. So I do think that that's part of the process now.
I also wonder, too, and I've heard people in the game talk about this, and you can observe it sometimes, too, but there are times where I'm watching a game or I'm listening to you and John, and you're talking about how guys are learning things like proper way to do a rundown or cutoffs and relays. And when you have less experience doing that, it's hard to learn those things and do them right at the major league level when it matters and there's pressure every day.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I'm ready to say this is definitively true, but I've been thinking a lot lately about how, you know, most players that got to the big leagues would have gone to one or two or maybe 3 years of what we used at the time, the phrase was instructional league, which is at the end of the year, you'd go for 6 weeks and you would get, I mean, you'd get baseball basics until it's coming out of your ears. And, you know, in the Cardinal sense, that was run by George Kissel. And you'd learn how to, you know, the six ways to get from second to third on a ball hit to the left side of the infield. Even I know those. Or how to bunt and where to bunt and when to bunt and, how, you know, all that stuff. And relays and cutoffs. And you'd get that, I mean, until you just couldn't stand it anymore. But the point was, you're making a guy learn those things so he can just do them instinctively on the baseball field. And we're not doing that anymore. We don't have instruction. Now, we have other things, but I'm not so sure that that's not a big miss for the development of baseball players right now.
So, generally speaking, I'm sure it's different for each guy and for each coach, but generally speaking, do the guys from Central America get to the big leagues better prepared, more basic sound players than the American guys?
Boy, that's a good question. I would say yes, marginally so. I mean, I feel like they have some experience competing against the best of the best. That's part of what it's like playing winter ball. I think winter ball is their instructional league. Maybe that's the answer.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to winter ball, I mean, you'll be, as an American player, it would have been, you know, a Triple-A type guy who's getting ready to be a big leaguer, and you go to the winter ball to kind of hone your skills, and you're playing with, you know, some current big league players that just love to represent their country in winter ball, and they still, Tony Pena was playing until he was in his late 30s, I think, and he just never stopped. He would always play winter ball. Many guys would do that, but they would also have these young guys, these 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds that are learning from these big leaguers. And I think, you know, being around big leaguers is a great lesson. There's no question.
It's a fascinating topic, Rick, because having been involved with youth sports for so long, youth baseball for so long, it's funny, a lot of the training that we talk about is because these are the skill sets that show this will get you drafted.
Right.
This is what the team demands. This is what the top SEC schools demand if you want to go there. So you have to give them that, but it's at the expense of something.
Yeah, and so many people have said this. John Mozeliak said this recently. I was on an MLB call last week with all the broadcasters. They said it out of the Major League Baseball office. We can't blame youth leagues. I mean, we're drafting them. We're doing it. We're saying this is the most important thing for us to sign you, and then we're saying, boy, they just don't know how to use all four corners of the plate. Well, I mean, that's part of the deal. And so, you know, you can't kind of keep doing the same thing expecting the better results. So I do think you have to take ownership of that. Baseball, I believe, is understanding that we have to kind of maybe teach a little bit differently.
And it's interesting you mentioned the Dave, you brought up the guys that are from Latin America. I would say that I notice a difference even regionally in the U.S. where you can play baseball year-round, which is the difference, right? In Venezuela, you can play baseball year-round. In Dominican, you can play year-round. In Florida, you can play year-round. And there's a reason why a lot of the best players that are going to colleges or that are drafted are Florida, Georgia, Texas, Arizona, California. Because you can get reps all year and not just practice, but playing games, which builds the instincts that what you guys are talking about.
I grew up in New York, and I want to say we played 16 games, something like that. And, you know, you have a bad start, you have a bad year. I mean, that's kind of how that works. And so you better be ready to go. By the way, you might be warming up in your first game in the snow. But in fact, I think our 10th game out my senior year in high school was snowed out. So that is a thing. And so you've got to obviously work around that. By the way, I'm glad we're doing this hit today in English, since I'm in Toronto. I'm up in the booth right now, and I understand Kevin is fluent in French, and I was kind of expecting some of that.
You wanted it en français?
Let's hear it.
Who would you like to have hit a coup de circuit this weekend?
Wow, see, he is good. All I know is où est la plage?
Where's the beach?
Yeah. Picture me doing that.
Not a lot of beaches in Toronto.
Yeah, picture me doing that, showing my guns, and that does have a good little picture
for you. I figured it was more like où sont les toilettes?
I only learned how to say my rash has become weepy.
So, hey, you learn what you need.
It got me through.
Willa McDonald's. Where's the McDonald's, man? Let's go.
I got it.
I think you're faking it.
No, I'm making stuff up. No, those are actual. I mean, those are really simple words, though.
I'm impressed.
I've been told. I used to speak fluently. I don't do it as well because I don't do it. I can read fluently, and I understand it like it's almost like it's English.
So you guys know what a Walkman is. You're both old enough to know that. Mm-hmm. So I would go to sleep in my late 20s with a Walkman, and I had a Berlitz tape trying to learn French. And I've got, you know, you picture, you got the Walkman in, and you think you're saying it softly, but you're going,
deux, trois,
quatre, cinq, huit. And I got hit enough by my wife to stop doing that. So I only know a little bit.
Rick, you'll appreciate this. This is a real story. So in the early 90s, when I was a lawyer and I had taken special mediation training, and I was flying to D.C. and I met this guy who was a mover and shaker, and he was like, oh, you should be an ambassador, blah, 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 right? And he's probably hitting on me. And
only human.
Yeah, what are you going to do? So I decided that I was going to learn Mandarin Chinese.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Because it was when we were doing the handover of whatever it was.
Yeah.
And so I bought this big, thick book on Mandarin Chinese. It was a fall day. I sat down. I cracked my knuckles, got myself a little cup of coffee. And like 15 minutes later, I shut the book for the last time, and I never went back.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about jumping into the deep end.
Right. The alphabet doesn't even look the same.
So there are baseball players that have had a cup of coffee. You literally had a cup of coffee with Mandarin Chinese.
I literally did. I don't know why I thought it would be easy. Like, this can't take more than an afternoon.
Hey, confidence could take you a long way, but not everywhere, Dave. Sorry.
And bottom line, I never became an ambassador.
Oh, well.
You are of sorts. That's what you do every day.
That's true, yeah.
You're right. Yeah. In some ways, I am.
All right,
all right, buddy. Enjoy it up north, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
Want to hear the dumbest study ever?
Yeah.
Penn State. Penn State, that's like a real place, right? New study has discovered that snackers consume 77% more calories when eating chips served with dip than just chips alone.
I don't...
Duh.
Well, duh.
Thank you.
What? How is that even a study?
I mean, I might not have known it was 77%, but I would have guessed it was a lot.
The only interesting part at all is that you actually eat more chips... When you eat them with dips.
Well, of course, because if you have a little dip cup, you got to finish it.
I used to be able to just, if you didn't have dip, take a potato chip and put a little bit of salt on top of some sour cream. It's just as good. Well, it's not just as good, but it's close enough. But you would eat way more just because of the sour cream.
What was your go-to teenage stuff your face?
Taco Bell.
Like, for example, I know a lot of girls in our era who packed on a few by eating those, like, pork tenderloin freezer sandwiches. Remember those?
No. I did not have that. I
loved those.
Didn't get fat until college. I mean, I didn't put stuff on. But I loved McDonald's, Dave. I loved, remember, it was a thing.
Sure.
Yeah, you go
hang
out there.
It really was a thing. And I would go and get a Big Mac. And, I ate mashed potatoes, which is not at McDonald's. I understand that.
Famous McDonald's mashed potatoes.
But I love the fry. I liked all potato. Any potato, any kind of form.
A lot of the starch.
Yeah. I was eating.
Where was your high school hangout like that? Did you guys have a place to?
So when we would go out, we would go cruising in our car, and we would, at McDonald's was like
McDonald's
the hub.
Was okay.
So you would, you know, just cruise around the parking lot. And
we did a lot of that cruising thing in a couple of, like, small little, like, downtown areas that would be like Kirkwood-ish where you can just, and you could stop at any number of places there, but we always started at Taco Bell.
Nothing wrong with Taco Bell.
Fill up on Taco Bell. Back then, you could fill up on it super cheap. You're like, tacos, please.
This is illegal. But we had a buddy who worked at McDonald's, and he would give us a time, like 9 p.m., and he would make, like, too many burgers.
Oh, how funny.
And they got to get rid of them.
And put them in a trash bag and then take them out and put them in the trash. And we'd be waiting and we'd take them out of the trash and we'd have like 30 hot burgers.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Yeah.
Straight out of the trash.
Felt like Al Capone.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very similar.
It's like a Goodfellas scam.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If it was not, but if it was a Goodfellas scam, you'd be taking them down the road and selling them.
That's true.
For like 25 cents.
Yeah, I was not on the radar at all in popularity. And then Ethan's uncle Eric found me, and he was really popular. And he had a 1967 289 fastback Mustang.
Yeah, those were cool.
Right? And we would just come pulling up in that thing, and man.
Your stock went up.
Really did.
Yep.
Yeah.
To the point that a girl I dated thought that I was an exchange student.
What?
Yeah. I got tan and I grew my hair long and I cute her at least. And she was like, so what school did you transfer from? And I'd been in every class with her since seventh grade.
Oh my God.
He's like, I am from Norway.
Once again, like the old people who thought I had special needs, and I didn't dissuade them. I just told her I came from Marquette or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Did other people had to know who you were.
That wasn't a problem in the moment.
Oh, fair enough.
Right. I needed to get out of that
solution.
Moment,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Not a big planner for the future.
Yeah. So you got to understand something about tomorrow's problems,
gotcha.
Right?
They're not today's problems.
Today, us is not worried
a
about tomorrow's problems.
Pretty girl liked me in that nanosecond.
Okay.
How do you further the agenda?
How do I
agenda?
Keep this going into the next nanosecond?
Right,
wasn't she
right.
mad when she found out it was just you who she's gone to school with all these years?
You're assuming she stuck around.
Okay.
He was back in Uzbekistan by then.
I see.
He was long gone back in his...
I think he was back in Sweden or something.
I'd gone back to Laguna Beach by then. Speaking of, it's National School Picture Day today.
Aww.
Did you guys stress about that?
I don't care.
Oh my God.
Stressed.
What do you think is going to be the answer from Kevin?
Yeah, I
didn't want to do it because I hated posing for the picture, but it, whatever.
Yes, you had to worry about it. And I had the same bangs that I have now since 1800. So and if somebody said to me before, let's give you a little trim on the, I would say, well, no, don't.
Yeah, no. Not on picture day.
Nope. It's picture day, people.
Can't be looking like Kim Jong-un.
That's right.